Inside Outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now,
we're outside indoors, beat on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors with Don Jordan, Buddy Bill, and Rich Reardon gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues, and just down-home family fun. Inside Outdoors is an enjoyable and informative way to learn about what nature has to offer and how to be a good steward. You can find us at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com, and we invite you to write in about your fish stories, outdoor stories, favorite places, questions, or just about anything you want us to talk about on the show. So sit back with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich for another episode of Inside Outdoors.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliance.
That's right, Morrison's Appliances and Service on West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana. Serving Monroe County since 1954 with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com.
By golly, glad everybody could join us this morning, son of a gun. It's cool outside, but I tell you what, that's better than 95 degrees this morning.
Yeah, I'd say we'll survive this morning.
I think we will.
We'll wiggle through it.
Yeah, we'll go right through it, yeah. Well, this is Inside Outdoors, folks, and we want to thank you for joining in this morning, and this is old Buddy Bill here.
And this is Don Jordan here.
Don Jordan, yeah.
Good to see you there. Mr. Jordan and
Rich
and Buddy Bill.
That's Rich
and
talking.
I am Rich Reardon. Yes,
yeah.
I am.
I asked him before we started here about the Heritage Days down in Harrodsburg, but we really don't have a lot of information, and he doesn't either. But it's coming up, and they have it every year. And I don't have any information on it either, other than I've seen the signs.
Well, if it's going to take place, you won't be able to miss it if you drive through Harrodsburg.
No. If you go down to see Rich, you'll be right in the middle of it.
Well, they probably use that. You know, they got a real nice covered basketball court down at that little park there in town.
That's down at the old school, where the old school
it's
was.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
You got a pretty big community center there, too.
Yes, it's nice down there, really.
Yeah.
Nice country. You're setting up on a hill, you know. It's pretty down there. Pretty down there.
Harrodsburg's a nice little town.
And not near as noisy as I-69 life.
Oh, gosh, no.
No, not very noisy, no. Except for the explosions.
Oh, yeah. Some of those from Crane.
Well, I don't know where they're from. I think there's a couple quarries that are doing something down there.
That could be Victor Olytics down there.
Well, I tell you why. The other day I was waking up in the morning. It was about, I don't know, 7 o'clock, something like that.
And, that's when they go to work.
And, man, I felt the earth shake before I heard the boom, which is kind of strange. And then I heard rocks falling from out of the sky for about, I don't know, 10 seconds. I mean, literally,
that must have been pretty close.
I was like, I was ready to duck.
Well, he is pretty close to that crusher there.
A crusher.
Yeah, right there at the county line, and he's only, gosh, he ain't a mile from it.
Well, that's still a long way to be throwing dirt clods.
I mean, I could hear stuff falling out of the sky, so it must have been big, whatever it was.
Well, he's probably less than a mile from where they would be. It's at Ingram down there. Down there on the county line, 37 and County Line Road.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know?
No.
Well, that's what it is.
That's
and I'd say
area.
That that's where he was hearing that from, to be that close. And he was close enough, he probably did hear this rock of falling.
I heard an explosion yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, I thought it was a transformer going off, but maybe not.
You just still don't know what it was?
No.
Be darned.
We didn't have any electricity went out.
Oh, it did.
It did not.
Oh, it didn't go out.
No, it did not. Mm-hmm. So if it was electricity, it was elsewhere, but it was sure a nice big boom. Was that yesterday you heard that boom?
No, it was a few days ago.
Yeah.
early in the week.
You and Carole King felt the earth move under your feet.
That's right.
Yeah. Moving right away along.
Well, we got to talk about the, was it a mountain lion? No. Yeah. We got to talk about that when we come back.
Yeah, we got to. And what else? We got, we'll find something else.
Oh, there's the thing
there's
about
plenty this weekend.
Oh, the Lake Monroe logging. Oh, man.
Yeah, and
we'll right down by you.
Yes. And how did they get a permit to do that?
I know. They did not get a permit.
They didn't?
They didn't get a county permit.
Well, it's all into the watershed, all that's washing
into
it.
We're going to have to talk about that as soon as we get back, which will be very shortly.
Well, you're just getting me warmed up.
I know, yeah. You just hang in there.
Okay, I'll hang in there. Don't go away, folks, because we got a live one coming back.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and me, Rich Reardon. We'll be back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. You're listening to WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, right here in downtown Bloomington. Volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 109.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. Be right back. It is 46 degrees right now in downtown Bloomington. You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon. Okay, we're back.
Hey, we're back. Yeah,
told you it wouldn't be long.
No, you told me that, and you didn't. You don't lie. You tell the truth. Yeah. Yeah.
What about this Lake Monroe thing?
Well, there's one. They're logging right down, heck, within half a mile of me.
Yes,
And how in the world they got a permit when it's all watershed? I have no idea. Yeah, I guess it's who you know. Or who you pay off, that's the only thing I can figure out. It's ridiculous.
Well, here's the thing about this particular spot. The Corps of Engineers did not buy up the hill there.
No.
You know?
They just bought the bottom land.
Well,
I mean, the flat land, you know.
They don't own that land there where he's logging. Where this guy's logging this.
But you still got to have a permit to cut it because it's in the watershed.
All you had to have is have a permit from the county.
Right.
But they didn't apply for a permit from the county.
Uh-huh.
And they got no permit from the county.
And the county hasn't done anything about it.
No, the county hasn't done anything about it.
And they probably won't.
They probably won't.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, they probably won't.
It's
ridiculous.
Won't. It's
here
not,
we are trying to preach clean water and clear everything, and then the county lets them undo everything we've said.
Well, on Facebook this week, they had pictures of the people who live along that road there. What's the name of that road?
Whippoorwill. Let's see, which one's he on?
Shady Side. That's the one.
And then we got the one on Stip right below me.
Right. Well, the Shady Side one's the one that they're arguing about now.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I looked at property up there 13 years ago when I moved back here, and it was a big mess then, fighting over the easement to get down from the upper Shady Side down to that land down there, mm-hmm. where apparently this fellow wants to make a mansion with a servant's quarters and a big home lot. But the Corps does not own that land down there.
They've been down and checked on it.
I guess they've been there three times during surveys, make mm-hmm. sure he's not cutting off of his land or anything. And he's legal, and you can see in these pictures that they published in Facebook that they've skinned it. I mean, it is skinned right down to the dirt.
it's pitiful.
And it's right up to the edge of the lake. They left a, I don't know, looks like there's, you know, little thin, wispy trees, a few left right along the edge of the lake.
Well, they go down to the stakes and where the Corps owns, but they still got to have a permit from the county, and of course the county won't do nothing.
Well, it's amazing that that the county is just letting them do this. Of course,
it is.
Of course, this is nothing compared to what the U.S. Forest Service is going to be doing just on around the corner there up Middle Fork.
Well, yeah.
4,000 acres they're going to clear cut.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of area. And you think that there won't be any mud coming down into Lake Monroe from
that? Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's already filled in considerable. Yeah.
Well, the thing of it is, this lake is the only lake that the Corps of Engineers has built that don't run it. They've turned it over to the DNR, and that was the biggest mistake that there was ever
made. That was absolutely the biggest mistake.
The Corps of Engineers, and we had a, I don't know what you call him, was overseer of the lake for a while, and I can't even remember his name.
Well, the one I knew was Luke Whittern.
No, this
Whittern,
is,
I think
yeah,
it was.
He went to Pennsylvania. He was actually from Pennsylvania, and he went over there to manage. I guess that's what they are, managers for the lakes, and he was manager for Lake Monroe. But I talked to him many times, and his hands were tied due to the fact the Corps of Engineers didn't own it.
Yes.
They still own it, but they have leased it to the DNR, which is a disaster.
How they ever got that happening, the DNR must have pulled something like, well, we won't let you build your lake if we don't have control of it, something like that.
I don't know what happened either.
But there's a lot of cases like that where the state of Indiana has demanded that we take over the operation of a program or a facility or something mm-hmm. from the federal government. And then, well, you can see what happens to them. Just look. One I'm thinking about the most is the Department of Environmental Management.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be the EPA running those. Well, and the IDEM does that in Indiana. And we're like 48th most polluted state out of 50, something
yeah.
like that,
Yeah,
the largest depositor of toxic waste into Ohio River. On and on.
Look at all the pollution that's coming down White River.
Oh, you
just go right up the river and name.
Well,
it's pitiful what's going into it.
You wouldn't know that there's anything such thing as pollution if you hang around Indianapolis.
That's true.
Yeah. They never mentioned the word.
Never
mentioned the word.
No.
And they got that little mile and a half segment of stagnant water in that canal they
yes.
redid, and they show that off as their environmental jewel all
mm-hmm.
the time. I'm telling you, this is a sorry state.
Oh, it is. We've said before, we've always been for clean water and good conservation and all, and then things like this happen, the clear cutting on the lake and all the mud washing into it, and then they wonder why it fills in. Well, and when that, there again, goes back to they let the DNR control it, and if the Corps of Engineers would have held on to it and kept it herself, they were not supposed to be a building of any type around Lake Monroe that would have washed or interfered with the lake whatsoever.
Well, don't get me started. That houseboat rental place down there at Cutright?
Yep.
Well, there's no plan. That was not in the plan either.
No.
Not back around where it is anyway.
Uh-uh.
And so they made a little allotment there for them,
uh-huh. Well,
so,
there you go, back to the DNR.
Yes, exactly.
It's a shame, and, I know there's several people that's tried to get the Corps of Engineers, but to take it back over.
That ain't going to happen.
But that's not going to happen for 99 years at least.
Right.
And I don't know, they've still got 50 years probably to go yet.
In 99 years, it'll be sucked dry by Indianapolis.
Yeah. Yeah. And, it's... we can sit and talk about it all day, and we, there's nothing we can do, but by golly, we can let the people know what's going on.
Well, along those lines, you know, the best report I've seen on this, I'm going to tell you, was WTIU-WFIU news over on the campus. And this is just a few pieces out of their report that might be of interest to you. There's some concern this is really a development that's being disguised as logging. That says Sherry Mitchell Brooker, president of the Friends of Lake Monroe. Well, that's what it looks like.
Uh-huh.
You know, they've cleared such a big area.
Sure.
You know, that's what it definitely looks like. That the sediment that's coming out of it carries nutrients, which will fertilize the lake and mm-hmm. make it bloom even more algae. Do you remember the blue-green algae?
Oh, yes.
The thing we had, it's one of the worst problems in the lake. And water levels in the lake have been going up as the impact of the sediment increases, and this mm-hmm. will add to that, and that raises the water level along the shorelines, that and it increases more, makes more
yes
sedimentation, and they were an injunction, a preliminary injunction was filed against this Huff fellow
right
at the start of this, but he's been set free now apparently to go ahead, and he says he's going to put a mansion and a servant's quarters or something down
now,
there.
Now, I think this was the same ground that Tony Holman owned, right?
And I believe it is.
Yes.
I believe it is.
And I don't know. Well,
if Tony Holman couldn't get a house built down there, how did this guy?
Well, he got the right of way into it from the road. Tony Holman would have had to come in by a boat.
Uh-huh.
And it would have been had they had let Tony Holman in there. You know how he operates. His past record shows you how he operates at top notch. And he was couldn't get the right of way. And I don't know how long this fella here, Huff, has owned this right of way.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how he got it. Well, money. I mean, you know, that's pretty obvious. But
right.
Anyway, Tony was going to put a. And of course, he doesn't believe in cutting trees and stuff.
Didn't.
Yeah. Of course, he's passed away now. But he don't believe in destroying the ground and stuff and being a menace to the environment. But he was going to put up a nice big building down there for. His employees to enjoy, or the public too, as far as that was. But that didn't happen due to the fact he had to haul everything in by boat. And it was a little more expensive than he wanted to put out.
Well, that's what started this whole thing, is in that fight over the easement for the mm-hmm. road coming down from Shadyside.
But anyway, you know, evidently nobody's going to do anything about it, so...
There's little statements here from the Corps of Engineers and DNR Forestry about this. When we get back, I guess I'll just be a little bit short thing before we get on to the Bobcat versus
Mountain Lion. Oh, boy, that right. Bobcat, yes, that's a big Bobcat, brother.
Yes,
right. Well, we're going to have to take a little break, he said, so by golly, hang in there, folks, and get you some biscuits and gravy and a big old cup of coffee, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. You're listening to WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 109.7 in Brown County, and 106.3 in Ellettsville. Course online at WFHB.org. And right now it's 46 degrees in downtown Bloomington. Today we're going to have partly sunny, then showers in the evening. Pretty strong chance of them. And then going to decrease, and then tomorrow looks like a pretty nice day. It's going to start getting a little bit sunnier, high of 59. And then we're looking Monday back to a chance of showers, really for the next few days. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, highs is about 70s, early 70s, 73. That's it. We'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Hey, welcome back, folks. By golly, I hope you enjoyed them biscuits and gravy this morning. I haven't had breakfast yet. Have you, Rich?
No.
I haven't either. Me either.
I got a few mushrooms left, though.
Oh, you got some mushrooms?
Did you see those pictures?
The great mushroom hunter.
I didn't show them to Bill, but no, I did to Don.
Weren't they on my Facebook page? Didn't you post them on a Facebook?
No, I didn't post them. I just sent
you
them.
You sent them. Yeah, okay. Well, I know I saw them. Yeah. There's a
I'll
nice
be back.
Collection.
I got a caller calling in. Just be warned here.
All right.
All right. You go ahead and get that caller, and we'll talk about a bobcat that's as big as a mountain lion over in Brown County.
And I'm actually not done talking about this clear cut down.
Oh, you're not. Well, you just go right ahead. You take all the time you need.
Well, I don't want to keep our caller waiting if we...
Here we go.
Okay.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are we doing this morning?
Real good. Real good. I'm enjoying this discussion about the... Well, it's use of public land. And so I'm listening to all this and I'm thinking... You know, whose is it? Is it the federal government? Is it us? Is it the state? Is it loggers? And
well, in short, really.
Go on. Yeah.
In short, it belongs to all of us.
That's right.
Because taxpayer dollars went into it, like a lot of other things. I mean, you know, and actually, it belongs to all of us to go down and enjoy a hike. Boat ride, whatever you want to do, you know, and within reason. And but this is not happening. I mean, it's deteriorating fast.
Yeah. You got right to the point. I was just thinking that exactly. Like we stand by and we complain about what the elected officials do and the people they appoint. And meanwhile, I just want to go hiking. I want to go fishing. I want to go take my boat out, and I feel like appointed officials are there to make that available to all of us. And you talk to a warden, and you talk to a state trooper; they'll all have that attitude.
Sure.
But I watch. You know, I go to several places around the area. Really great hiking places, and they're. They're privately owned by Nature Conservancy, Sycamore Land Trust. There's one called Central Indiana Land Trust. I know very little about them. But, you know, so a bunch of people get together and they basically create a corporation. It's sort of that. It's how it works. Then the land is not in the hands of people in downtown Indianapolis.
Right.
And you know, you can't do anything about Lake Monroe, but I think some of the land around, say, Lake Lemon is I don't think any part of that is controlled by the state. I once heard it was City of Bloomington when it was.
You know, part of it was there was a City of Bloomington park there.
Yeah, the Tom Lemon, back when Tom Lemon was mayor. He's the one, I'm pretty sure, he's the one that got Lake Lemon built for water supply because we was running pretty short on water.
It was never used for water supply.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, they couldn't get all the sediment out of it.
It run down the creek there and into the, yeah, they used that. Well, anyway.
Yeah, go ahead.
But anyway, Tom Lemon was the one that got that for a water backup. Maybe it was a water backup. Maybe I'm stepping over a rooter.
Well, it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
But anyway, he got that built, and that was owned by the city of Bloomington. And then they turned it over to a conservative...
Conservancy,
is that what it was?
Yeah, that wasn't all that long ago.
No, that's not been very long ago.
And
so, actually, the city of Bloomington is out of it, I think, as far
well,
as that is.
There's still Ridley Point. Ridley Point, is that the name of it?
Riddle Point, yes.
Where the IU sculling team goes and things. So I don't know the status of that anymore.
Well, I don't either. I mean, you know, I do know what I've said, and other than that,
I know it costs you a lot of money to launch a boat at the boat ramp there now.
Yeah, it's ridiculous,
yeah,
really.
It keeps everybody out.
But it keeps everybody out, yeah.
Exactly.
What kind of a price is it?
Going through my head, there's the water, and then there's the shoreline.
Uh-huh.
And what we do is we parcel out the shoreline to the highest bidder, and if I think of all the stuff going on along the shoreline at Monroe, well, then that's what people are squabbling over.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it has no effect on who's got a boat in the water. It's all what they're doing with the shoreline. And
well, the places where the Corps of Engineers bought the land way back, you know, the reservoirs where the Corps bought the land a good distance off of the water are the ones that are so nice. The best reservoirs I've ever been on are the ones run by the Corps of Engineers and managed by the Corps of Engineers. And the fact that they're not managing Lake Monroe is the worst thing that could have ever happened to Lake Monroe.
Of course,
it has to do with how we parcel the land. We and all the developers, all of us that use it, and state officials, we sold it off.
Well, that's true. I mean,
yes, that's right. There has been enough regulations that not a rampant shoreline development hasn't taken place like you see at Lake Schaefer or Angola up in northern Indiana. But there's still plenty of development on there that shouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the number one place would be over there at all the condos and the golf course.
Yeah, Point.
That area. But there's not a high density of private homes around.
At one time, and any time, the sewer line leaks, breaks, or whatever at the Point,
right.
You know where it goes?
Yeah, that's
only
right.
One place it goes. It's all downhill, and it goes right in it.
Well, the best thing about that is it's close to the dam, so it'll get flushed down towards
hopefully
Williams,
Yeah, hopefully it works its way down and gets out of the water.
Yes, sir.
But we've talked about that before, too, and you can go around the lake and Tom was that guy's name, and I think maybe that was manager of the Lake Monroe.
Okay.
And he really took an interest in it. He walked that whole shoreline.
Wow, that's a hike.
Yeah, he walked the whole shoreline and surveyed it. And there is several places around the lake where the septic tanks are running into it. I mean, that's just...
It's obvious, you can see it.
Yeah, that's just plain knowledge. Then we've talked about in the past and why they, of course, there again, the DNR, the state, they won't do nothing about it. Let them houseboats, and I have nothing against a houseboat. I think they're real nice. If you've got time to use it, great. But don't be dumping your sewage in the lake.
Well, those are supposed to have the sewer valve.
Well, forget that sewer.
Welded shut.
Yeah, forget that.
So they all go unwelded after they've been inspected.
And they get out there in the middle and they open up the valve.
Let her fly.
And let her fly. And and then wonder why the water's polluted, and we're drinking that stuff, and they're putting so many chemicals in it, it can't be good for us.
And getting flesh-eating bacteria from swimming in the water.
Yeah, well, there at one time, what, a year or so ago, oh, it was so bad that... You better not get in the water.
Well, that was the blue-green algae from last year.
Is our caller still there?
I just had some of that in my coffee this morning.
You did?
Yeah. Well, I think about all those do, but, you know, it's not not great. And I think of it many times. I mean, you know, it can't be healthy and it can't be safe.
Well,
yes, I'm gonna let you guys get back to the more important things. I guess I kind of think of this whole thing like we can stand by and grumble about what public officials are doing on any level, or we can decide we're going to create what we want. But everybody has to be involved. Otherwise, the people that snatch power will snatch power. And it's always going to be like that with everything.
Yes, well, and money always talks.
Money talks, yeah.
That's snatching power.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Hey, just one more thing. I hear some mushroom lies if you have any.
Oh, yeah, we do have mushroom
lies.
We
got a few things to tell you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. See you later. You know, but I do want to say, yesterday a friend of mine sent me up, it's on Facebook, I think, but a picture of downtown Nashville, Tennessee, which was just covered with people as far as you could see.
Wasn't it, though?
Protesting, you know, what's going on in this country, that's kind of what we're talking about. Was what I thought until I noticed it was about the NFL draft.
NFL draft, yeah.
Nobody cares that they log Lake Monroe, but boy, that football team, they got to go down there.
Yep.
Get out in the street.
300,000
show their support for that. Boy, that just shows where we're at in this country.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you.
And nothing to disparage football. I like football. But,
oh, I do too.
But, you know, let's get out in the streets and talk about some of the other things that are going on.
Right.
Here.
Yeah, well, times are different now than
it is, and to think, of course, I'm just a little younger than you guys, but back in my time, we could go to Jackson Creek down here or any of these little creeks and fish. Heck, I've fished in them. They'd be bluegill, you know, and stuff, and they'd be some, you know, pretty decent sized fish. Now Clear Creek, you couldn't find a fish in it, I don't think, and Jackson Creek, you couldn't either. They're all so polluted, and then of course they're having all these floods. One more thing, they're having all these floods. Well, how come we're having floods? It's not raining anymore than it used to. It's all these housing and roofs and concrete driveways and roads and stuff. It's going to continue to get worse. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue to have floods, and they're going to be worse every year.
Yes, there's be a new apartment building in your backyard this time next year.
Yeah, yeah, they sure will. Yeah.
And those all increase water runoff.
Right. Look at Jackson Creek. Of course, now Jackson Creek carries a lot of water, and it used to flood to a certain extent. But boy, you look at her now. Every time it comes to rain, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Does it go over the bridge down there?
No. It don't go over the bridge. No.
Well, that's not a very tall bridge. I thought it might run.
No, it doesn't get that high. But that's. Jackson Creek
has a lot of fall, doesn't it? Runs fast.
Yeah, and it starts at 46 and College Mall Road.
Yeah, comes from
Third
that direction.
Street, 46, that corner. There's a spring right there. I don't even know what that little strip mall there. There's a
down by Jackson Creek School down there somewhere.
Oh no, way. We're talking about the mall out here.
Oh, right. Okay, east side.
Yeah, it's where White Castle used to be. You remember where it was there on Third?
Oh yes, I do.
Okay, there's a big spring that used to come out there, and I guess it still does. And that's where...
it was down there in front of that church that sets up on a hill, whatever that is.
Yeah,
there.
There's a church.
446.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
But anyway, there's a... that's where it starts, and starts in that area right there. And you look at all the blacktop driveways and parking lots and roofs and all that. I mean, you know, good Lord. Thousands of them. So anyway, that's all.
Okay. Well, I guess we better press on. We got half an hour left.
We got plenty of time.
Well, let's talk about those mushrooms he wanted us to bring up.
Well, I want to finish this business about the Huff property down there. On Lake Monroe. The county has had some things to say about it, as well as the attorney that these people live up on Shadyside have hired. And planning director Larry Wilson, this is supposedly our guy, said the logging on the Huff property far exceeds what was initially proposed in the permit application. He says crews aren't following many of the DNR forestry best management practices, whatever those are, but state statute limits the county's ability to enforce regulations that Wilson says protect the lake. So there you go. They got us trapped again, right? They got us again. A U.S. Army Corps of Engineer owns the lake and the land up to a certain point, and property owners can't harvest timber past that line. The Army Corps says it sent a surveyor out to the Huff property multiple times and that there haven't been any violations.
Well,
so they've cutting right up. The property line is obviously right up to the lake.
Right.
Right up to the lake. Okay. So that doesn't make the people who live there feel any better. There are people who have private property who have certain property rights, and we understand that, says this lady from Friends of Lake Monroe. What we'd like to see is at least a minimum that they go through a permit process that ensures they use the best practices and do everything they can to limit impact on the lake. Well, they don't care about that.
No.
They don't care about that.
Hey, we got another caller about this.
Okay, fire away.
Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Don, Alan Brown, I hope you're well.
Who we got here?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, it's interesting that in the course of a short period of time, we see a couple of instances of really just horrific landowner behavior with respect to what they're doing with the timber on their properties. First of all, over in Nashville, which I drive by all the time, and I can actually see the Huff property from where I live on the lake, and I just happened to be looking out there with binoculars the other day to look at some of the eagles flying by, and just see this big brown patch of dirt.
Hey, I got to interrupt you just for a second because we're going out on a break here, but just keep that in mind and we'll put you right back on. So hold on there. And we got to run and do a quick break. There we go.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
You're listening to WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio for 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 109.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. It is right now 43 degrees in downtown Bloomington, kind of clear, but it tell you what, it's going to be showering by the end of the day, and we'll have a pretty nice day tomorrow, high of 59. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, high of 73, but looks like some T-storms are in our future all week long. So anyway, this is Inside Outdoors, and we'll be right back in just a second.
It ain't a a bunch of beans they serve in the Navy. It's bacon and eggs, biscuits and gravy. Biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs, whole pot of coffee down to the dregs. When I get out of bed, my belly big. For biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs. That's biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs.
Hey, good morning.
Hey,
welcome back. We got our caller.
Yeah, sorry to cut you off, caller. Here we go.
We got to get right back to him.
Are you still there?
Yeah, okay. No problem. Everybody's got to do their sponsorships. I think it was kind of startling to look out the window and see that big brown patch of dirt over there. I'm a fairly strong property rights type of individual since I live out here, and I can tell you over the years of going and asking the county if I can do certain things, the answer's been no without even a thought. And to see someone who actually understands the law well enough to know that they basically can do almost anything they want down there is kind of shocking. But it also brings up the real problem, which is that the lake is under multi-jurisdictional control, as we all know.
Yes, we've been talking about that.
And it's nobody seems to be able to get themselves together to come up with some unified plan that would serve everybody's needs. I realize the Corps of Engineers has one need, and that's to follow their master plan. But the DNR has multiple needs for recreation for the state. The county has needs that this is their, all of our drinking water. I think you've got local landowners here who live around the lake. In most instances, you've got people who the last thing we want is to see the lake degraded into something that's not just an eyesore, but a dangerous one. So you've always got a few people who want to, be front and center. Obviously, this guy wants to have a big giant house out on the lake so that everybody can drive by and see. I'm a little curious as to why there aren't ordinances to at least protect when someone does this. I mean, if this guy would have laid down a cover crop before he even started taking those trees down and waited till the cover crop came up, they would have mitigated virtually any potential damage that they might have done.
Well, Alan, here's the thing. The DNR has many markets they have to serve, but the number one market they have to serve are the rich people that pay for the politics of it. And that's who they're serving. That's who they're serving here. There are all kinds of, actually, there's two or three permits this guy was supposed to get from the county, but he didn't even bother to apply for them,
Because in the end, he knew he really didn't even need them.
Well, I guess you're right. At least that's the way we act now.
You, that you need them when, in fact, you do not. It's just what they want you to do.
Well, that's probably true. I don't really know what the legal status of that is, but apparently this Mr. Huff does know and is doing as he wishes, which is the direct lesson we learned from our current president and administration in Washington, D.C.
Doing what they think they want done when they don't really have the authority to do that. And somehow or another, somebody just needs to impress upon all the stakeholders in this area and the watershed that we all need to sit down, and somebody's got to either give up a little control or come up with a master plan that we all can agree on. I'm just a little befuddled as to why that's not happened for, the largest geographic artifact in the state of Indiana has got this kind of messy control behind it, or not behind it, actually. It makes no sense. It really doesn't. This I've always felt that the lake is probably the most poorly used resource that we have in southern Indiana. So much more could be done to...
Absolutely. Absolutely. You go look at compare Monroe to Patoka Lake, and it's like a world of difference.
Oh, yeah.
A world of difference.
Altogether different.
And as that goes for Mansfield Lake also, has managed quite well. And, but Monroe just, I don't. It's like it's a forgotten stepchild, you know?
Yeah, I'd have to go back, because a lot of us have forgotten, but I'd have to go back and read and see what's happened over from the time it was built. But it's not took care of itself, that's for sure.
Well, we got some other calls coming in here, so let me say thanks for your call, caller, and I'm going to go to somebody else.
Thanks, Rich.
All right.
Thanks for calling in.
Hello, you're on the air. This is WFHB, Inside Outdoors.
Hey, hi, this is John over in Owen County.
How you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing all right.
Good.
I'm listening, of course, to the conversations, and I agree with the people calling in that there's a problem here, and a big problem, I think, and it's been there for years. And I think it was Rich a little bit ago said something that made a lot of sense. You'll get a whole bunch of population together to talk about football or talk about some restaurant didn't serve somebody or something. And all of a sudden, it's a movement. You got a lot of people. We've never, in my lifetime, I've never seen a great group of people organized to attack these problems we got with following these regulations on land use. It goes back to the old problem. We got the laws, we don't follow them, and nobody gets in trouble. And I think somebody, some group, has got to adopt this as a huge policy. I remember back in the 60s when these youngsters were chaining themselves to trees and everything else, trying to stop logging. Well, it got a lot of publicity. I don't think it stopped logging.
It did for a while. At least it cut clear cutting for a while.
Yeah. It made an impact. I guess that's what I want to say. I don't think we'll ever stop land abuse and conservation abuse. I think it's going to exist just like every other problem.
We're the robber baron country, John.
Well, I'm afraid you're correct, but I still think, of course, I'm in my 70s, and I don't think you guys are under 25 right now.
Is that right, Bill?
No, that's right.
We got to get some people to pay attention to this, and I'm willing to speak out about it, but I don't think I can organize a movement. And I don't want a dangerous movement. I don't want a bunch of radicals. But I think we've got to make an impact on our politicians to make them realize they're not enforcing the existing regulations.
Well, there you go. There's the problem. We elect these people to enforce these laws for us, or at least to make laws, to enforce laws, and carry it out. And they're not doing it.
No. And I contact my state and federal representatives quite often, and I always get a nice response. And occasionally I see something happen that I was thinking needed to happen, so I feel like, oh, good, I made an impact. But I don't know if it did or not.
Yeah.
But we're going to have to get organized against this problem, or it's never going to get any better or even slow down.
Well, you're right there.
We agree with you on that.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Well, I appreciate you listening, guys. I love your show. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for calling in.
Thanks for calling in.
All right.
Now, you know, I don't want people to get the wrong impression. If you own property, you've got the right to do what you want to do within reason and take care of it. If you, as Rex Waters said, I've talked to him about this clear cutting and stuff, and he said, well, there's a certain time you have to cut some trees out to let the others grow. But now here's the problem. When they start cutting that out, they damage all the other trees. They don't pay any attention. You get a logger in, and he don't care where that tree falls and how much he tears up. He just wants that log out of there. And so you've got a problem there. Rex was right. There is trees you need to cut out once in a while, and I have no problem with that. But now here's another thing. Tony Holman owned that ground. Now, he's not the original owner. I'll tell everybody that. He has owned that since, what, 1960, back in the early 60s. Mm-hmm. He's owned this ground. It's never been touched. It's never been cut. The guy that's bought it now really, if he was really interested and protective of the land, that's he wouldn't have bought that and went in there and tore it up in the way he has.
Well, that's right.
And he bought this ground. This was not his ground. He's bought this ground to go in there and do this.
Yes.
He had, that was his intentions when he bought it. Go in there, clear cut it, build him a big old mansion and several other houses. And that ain't going to be the only house in there. Trust me.
Well, that's what everybody thinks. So,
well, it's not going to be.
Probably will.
Let me ask a quick question. If they go all the way up to the cutting went all the way up to the lake. So how does he own that property?
Well, the Corps of Engineers just bought the lake line, the high limit level of the lake along certain portions of Lake Monroe. What? They did not buy back from the limit of the water.
Right.
They did not.
It's like they got another caller. Hold on.
They just went to the 560, wasn't it? Because
558 is...
560 might be just a little higher than that.
Okay, who's our new caller?
Hello.
Hello, caller.
But anyway, while he's getting them on the line there, that's kind of an eyesore when, like I said, Tony Holman owned this for years, since the 60s. I know when he bought it. And
he's long gone now.
He's long gone, and then this fella, he buys it and bought it with the intentions of destroying it. As well, you know. Now, if it had been his land since Tony Holman, he had a right to go in there, I think, and cut a few trees out.
If he bought it, he owns it. He can do what he wishes,
well,
apparently.
Evidently now, yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, y'all. Thank you so much for your program. Very informative.
Well, thank you.
So nice to hear reasonable people talking.
And who are we speaking with?
Oh, this is Emmy Lou. How are y'all doing?
Emmy Lou.
Well, good morning.
Do you sing?
Emmy Lou sang? Well, I bet she could sing us a song if we forced her to, you reckon?
I don't know.
No? you got a question this morning for us?
Well, I just wanted to add to the conversation by saying that I have some familiarity with Barron River.
Yes.
Down there in Kentucky. And what I've noticed is the Army Corps of Engineers seems to have a lot more depth of control, like up the banks.
Yes.
There's more areas protected. And some homeowners kind of skirt that by cutting limbs so they have a view of the lake.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a difference than cutting 800 trees, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems like they have more control. And I heard someone here say that this property owner owns it right down to the shore. That seems like an error somewhere in the original.
Well, it was an error. The Corps of Engineers decided not to buy that land. They just
decided, even though it was right up to the lake.
That's right. They bought only to the limit of the lake level. And there are maybe a few places where they bought up the hill ways, but not many.
They just went at the, like I was telling you there a while ago, I don't know exactly the elevation, but I'm saying 560. Now, it may be just a little bit higher than that.
Uh-huh.
And that would, 558 is the flood stage, right?
Right.
So they went up, and I don't remember where it was, 4 feet, 2 feet, or how much, but they went by the 560, let's say, and they went that way all the way around the lake. And I don't think they bought up in any place above the 560 or whatever.
So what public land there is above the lake line is DNR or Hoosier National Forest?
Well, yeah, our private owned.
For the forest.
Yes.
I'll let you guys go on and carry on, and I'll carry on listening. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks for calling in, Mary Lou.
Emmy Lou.
I'm sorry.
All right, thank you.
I'll talk to you again.
Okay, bye-bye. Call anytime, hon.
And hey, you know, we're running out of time here.
I noticed that.
I want to bring up the thing about the mountain lion.
Yeah, I got it sitting right here in front of me. Been waiting.
Let's hit her.
Okay. The DNR, this is a DNR statement. DNR received a report on March 11, a domestic cat in Brown County that had been killed by another animal, possibly a mountain lion. DNR staff collected domestic cat's carcass at the site and searched the surrounding area for tracks and other signs of a mountain lion, but no additional evidence of a mountain lion was found, although there were clear tracks of other wildlife in the area. Examination of the domestic cat carcass revealed the bite measurements could be consistent with a bobcat or a small mountain lion. They were so inconclusive on their own. Saliva deposited at the bite wound on the cat's carcass was collected, swabs, etc., and compared to reference samples, and it was a mountain lion or a bobcat DNA. 8 to 10 swabs detected bobcat DNA. Combination of genetics and bite measurements leads us to conclude that a bobcat, not a mountain lion, killed this domestic cat.
Well, there you go. That's the end of our show for this week.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
well,
we're about out of time.
By golly, thanks to all the callers that called in this morning, and we hope we've been of some benefit to you. And by golly, stay warm. It'll warm up one of these days, and we'll be back next week.
Hey, and call your congressmen and people and talk to them about this Lake Monroe problem, because
we got to get active. Good idea, Rich. We've got a problem, and we need to do something about it now.
And
bye-bye.
All right. Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliances and Service, serving Monroe County since 1954 at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana, and all with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich, and listen online anytime at insideoutdoorsradio.com.
So thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in this morning, and so we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.